You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Delbar, we haven't done a podcast in a locale like this before.
Salzburg was close.
Salzburg, Austria, that's right. You realize that was 2019? You were about to have your 40th birthday.
That's right.
What are you now?
45.
45.
But I feel better at 45 than I did at 40.
And you got great hair.
Thanks, man.
People pay a lot of money for hair like that.
Yeah.
And you got that salt and pepper look, which just speaks refined wisdom.
It is some wisdom in there. There is some. Not much, though.
We're all working on it. So we're here at the first day of the, well, second day of the retreat in Costa Rica, the inaugural overseas man retreat. What are your thoughts so far? What do you think?
Great experience so far. The house is amazing. I mean, ballerific, as some would say.
I would say that.
Chef has been phenomenal. Food is great. Some of the best fruit I've ever eaten. So,
Costa Rica is known for fresh vegetables and fruit like papaya and pineapple. It's excellent.
On that note, this is the first time I've ever tried papaya.
Really?
In my life.
Whoa.
So I'm probably spoiled now. If I taste it back in the States, it probably won't taste the same.
I rarely ever have it in the States. I found even the guac was better here, and you don't have to pay $4 a teaspoon like at Chipotle.
Right, right.
You like Chipotle?
It's okay.
I eat it regularly. I have a buddy who was on a carnivore diet, and he would eat there every day for lunch and not get rice. And he lost a lot of weight that way.
Yeah, yeah. Chipotle's okay. I'm not like a lot of people that just absolutely crave it. But
yeah. What'd you think of the first morning here when we were all together?
So the meditation was actually really good. You want me to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it was. It was the first group meditation I've ever hosted, and I thought it went swimmingly since we're in front of a pool.
I concur.
What'd you like about it?
Nice pun there.
Yeah, I do what I can.
Yeah, I thought it was great. As I've told you, I have only tried meditation maybe twice and probably didn't give it enough of a chance. And it was interesting. What I took from it was we talked about with the chef cooking, if that would be a distraction. And for the first 2 minutes, I can remember hearing him, but thereafter, I felt like I really went into a meditation. And then having the guy guide you along with whatever you were playing. What was his name?
We used Joe Dispenza this morning.
You, Joe Dispenza. That was great. I liked how you were able to channel your thoughts or lack thereof of thoughts
right.
with him. Guiding you along. So I really enjoyed it and I need to do more of it.
Yeah. So for the first year, I meditated every day for a year and I used guided meditation the entire time. And it's hard to go without. It's almost like, have you heard going on a walk raw dog? That's a thing now, which means no AirPods.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you go on a nature walk with nothing, just bare, nothing but your thoughts. And they call that raw dogging it now. So it's got a new definition. I don't know what it used to mean.
I took it as grounding when you initially said it.
So I do the grounding thing too. Yeah. A lot of guys here do, where you just go and stand with your bare feet on the grass. Yeah. It's supposed to give you some sort of charge and reduce inflammation. Yeah. And I need that right now. So I've been doing it. And I do breath work at the same time so I can kill two birds at the same time with a stone, as they say.
Yep.
So, yeah, that works for me. What else did you get out of that meditation?
I know the point is not to think, but I took from it some very positive thoughts, and I shared with the group how I've done yoga, and at the end of a hour-long yoga session, when you do the vinyasa, which is you're basically sprawled out, relaxed, looking up at the sky, that euphoric feeling was kind of how I felt there. Relaxed, but also very positive.
If you can get euphoria from meditating, especially after round one of your life, you're going to be motivated.
Euphoria is probably a strong, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but euphoria is probably a little bit of a strong definition. I almost said euphoria for the lack of a better description, but it just felt very relaxing. And I related that to after an hour long yoga session.
Yeah. So for listeners, what we did was a 10-minute guided meditation. And then we went around the room and talked about everybody's experience and what they got from it and what they hoped to get from it, how it was different from what they expected. Because a lot of guys were meditating for the first time. So it was pretty cool. And we're going to do it every day. I think tomorrow we're going to try that British guy from Headspace. And you can get these from Spotify. They're free. I used to pay for Headspace. It was like $70 a year or something. But somebody's ripped them off, kind of like back in the Netscape days. And I use it for free. So I like that. What about your initial impressions of Costa Rica? Like, this is your first time here, huh?
It is. And it's so ironic you're asking me that. And we couldn't have a better view behind us.
I mean, yeah, we're spoiled. So don't expect this every time.
Right? It's a beautiful country. I feel very safe. And the reason I say that, you've traveled a lot more than I have, but I think a lot of Americans are afraid to travel outside of the country. Is it safe? And I always joke with people, it's no more dangerous than New Orleans. You know?
Yeah. What is there, like nine places that are in the world that are, or in this part of the hemisphere that are more dangerous than New Orleans?
Right.
And they're all in Mexico.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's a beautiful country so far. All the people are very nice. And I know we talked about doing some ATV rides. I'm looking forward to that. What's the park we're going to? What is it?
Manuel Antonio National Park.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. So you know what we're going to see? There are sloths and monkeys everywhere.
Yeah.
You probably never seen a sloth, huh?
No, and I'm looking forward to that. And I shared with you that this morning I heard the monkeys outside of my window as I was waking up, which is something I've never experienced.
Get out.
Yeah. So that's and then just meeting all these guys. I mean, everybody's here for the same purpose. Let's be the best version of ourselves. So meeting some guys from different areas and also that are younger than us. I'll flip the script and ask you a question. Like, don't you wish when you were younger you had done this?
I'm doing this because I'm doing what I wish I had at their age.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I try to provide all the time.
Yeah. And so shout out to you for providing that opportunity to the younger guys, the Bradley D's and the Dirty D's of the long, late 90s. I would have loved if you think B.D. Parker would have given us an opportunity to go on a Costa Rica trip during baseball season?
He would not have.
He couldn't even run track while you were playing baseball.
I know. I asked him, hey, well, coach, what do you think about me running the 50-yard dash? They need somebody. No. Okay. Can we talk about it? Nah.
No negotiation.
Nothing. And I don't keep in touch with him. Yeah. Now, I do keep in touch with the guy who recruited me, Coach G. I love that dude. So
G. Cassar.
Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, last time I saw him, I gave him Mike Tyson's biography. It's called The Undisputed Truth.
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Oh, that's the one I'm listening to on Audible that we talked
right
about.
Right now?
I have not finished it.
Yeah. I love the stories he shares in it. He talks about meeting Michael Jackson and the Tupac thing. Yeah. So he was real tight with Tupac. His walkout song for his boxing matches was a Tupac song.
That's right.
And of course, Tupac was killed the night of the Tyson fight. Remember he got in that fight in the lobby at the MGM Grand?
Absolutely.
You been to Vegas?
Several times.
Yeah, me too.
Vegas, I'm just hit or miss. In other words, if I got some guys that want to go, good time, let's go. But, I mean, when you think about it, Vegas is what, a 3.5-hour flight from New Orleans? From here, 45 minutes to Houston, and then 2 hours and 45 here? I'd much rather Costa Rica.
That, and they make the flights real cheap. Like sometimes you can get a round trip ticket for $100 and then you could stay at a second tier hotel, like a 3.5-4-star hotel for like $79 a night. Mm-hmm. They want you to go in there and pull the slot machines. That's why they get
Absolutely.
You there.
Absolutely.
What about the show? I go for the shows.
But we talked about that earlier, that Cirque du Soleil, Michael Jackson show. Unbelievable. That is one thing Vegas has is some great shows.
That's at the Mandalay Bay. Yeah, that's where that guy went nuts and killed 60 people
at the
Mandalay
Chris
Bay.
Stapleton concert. Not Chris Stapleton. Jason Aldean. Jason Aldean.
What do you think that was about?
I don't know how to answer that question other than some mental health issues for sure. What would make you want to go out and kill 70 people?
What was your favorite part of that Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show?
Have to be honest, Dirty Diana, I've always loved that song. And watching one of the women on like a 40-foot pole come down the pole very professionally as well as very, very femininely, if that's a word, I really enjoyed.
I remember they asked Princess Diana when that song came out if she was offended by the song, and she said, no, I love it.
Yeah, it's a great song.
You know that song, Roxanne? You don't have to put on the red light.
You don't have to put on the red light.
That's my stepmom's name, and she's always hated that song.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember the girl I was with at the time for that Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, when the girl was coming down that 40-foot pole very seductively, the girl turning to me and seeing me look at the girl and saying, yeah, that's pretty sexy. I don't blame you for looking.
I respect that when a girl who doesn't mind that you look, because can we help it? I mean, once it's almost like a meditation. So we do meditation to exercise the mind to where we can control our attention. I think that that happens unconsciously. And then once you realize you're doing it, it's like, oh, my wife's next to me. I need to stop doing that. I need to not look, right? Yeah. I need to look away.
Yeah.
And then she catches you in that non-conscious moment. And you've heard my theory about cleavage and all that, that women have better peripheral vision, so they can look at a man without you really even knowing. They just have to look in the vicinity. But a man has to look directly at the woman he wants to see, because we're more far-sighted to where we can, you know, going back to hunter-gatherer days, we can hunt and see far, whereas they gathered the berries, so they have this amazing peripheral vision where they can see everything around them. That's why when you go to the kitchen to get something out of the fridge and you can't find it, and you're like, where is the ketchup? And she goes in there, you've been looking for 2 minutes, and she goes in 2 seconds, and she's like, you're an idiot, it's right here.
If I may make a joke,
yeah,
that's because she probably moved it somewhere where you had put it back.
That's probably true, too. No, you're right. You remember your first kiss?
I do.
What was that about?
We were playing Spin the Bottle, believe it or not.
I love Spin the Bottle.
Yeah, that was the only time I've ever played. But I'm thankful for that game because I was probably so nervous. I don't know when that first kiss would have happened had it not been for Spin the Bottle.
It is nerve-wracking. So it landed on a cutie?
I think so,
yeah. Did you spin it deliberately to land on her?
No, but it ended up being that way. And actually, she was like my first kind of like little girlfriend, if you will. Not my first, not like a fourth grade girlfriend, but like kind of the first one. Like you were like, hey, you, what did you used to say? You want to go out with me?
Steady?
Or y'all go together? You want to go together?
I think steady was our dad's, and then going out was, yeah, it was what it was out. Called. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you'd hold hands and you'd always do it with the interlocking fingers.
Right.
As I got older, I don't like to do the interlocking fingers as much, because as you walk for a while, you get dehydrated and your fingers get fat. Does that not happen to you?
I've thought about that.
Well, you ought to try holding a girl's hand. That's what happens.
I've never held a girl's hand. I should try that one day. Maybe I will hold a girl's
hand. What did Chris Rock say? He remembers every girl he's ever held hands with but not slept with?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is
there
not...
There is no S in the champagne room.
Yeah. No, he's right about that from what I hear. But I'm not a Chris... Like, he had a stand-up recently that I wasn't a fan of. Like, I think Chappelle is like, if Chappelle's a 10, I'd put Chris Rock at about a 7.
Yeah, I think a big part of him with the latest one was he kind of felt he had to get back at Will Smith and do some jabs at him.
I think you're right. And that gave him material and some sympathy laughs, probably.
Probably so.
Yeah. I also didn't like Andrew Schultz's latest stand-up.
I don't think I've seen that.
He talked about having the birth of his child, and it was just kind of gross and like, I felt like it was 14-year-old kid humor.
Hmm.
I like him, kind of. But my latest is Nate Bargatze, you know, the guy who doesn't curse.
We talked about that. I actually went to see him about a year ago in New Orleans. I didn't know anything about him, which is great because you go into things without expectations. Much better, right? And didn't know anything about him and had a blast.
What's the first?
Oh, quick funny story about that. So, as you know, Jolie is everything to me.
My daughter
has special needs, of course. And I remember going to that concert, and that was the first time they wanted to lock my phone up in one of the zip bags so you can't video. And I remember I told the woman security guard, I was like, I'm not locking up my phone. If I have an emergency with my daughter, I'm not doing it. She's like, well, let me get the manager. And I was like, you don't need to get the manager. And I just walked straight through and didn't lock up my phone or anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did they used to do back in the day if you had gotten a call? I guess you would have had a pager, and then you'd go out and use the payphone.
I guess.
Things have changed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on the latest iPhone?
I am. Only because at Costco, when I walked in, they were like, hey, free upgrade today. And I normally don't fall for that. But I was like, you know what? I got time. And the camera on this, we should try and get a sponsor from Apple. The camera on this 16 Pro is unbelievable. Some of the pictures I've taken here, the country is beautiful in general, but I accredit some of it to Apple's technology.
And are you using AirPods too?
Mm-hmm.
How many pairs have you bought?
I bought two. My other ones just went out. They did the sound test on them, and so I had to buy some new ones. And now I have the Apple Care stuff, which I normally did not buy.
From what I understand, the next release of AirPods in September is going to have auto-translate to where when you hear somebody talking, when you're in Costa Rica, for example, it'll translate the Spanish into your ear as if you're Tucker Carlson interviewing Vladimir Putin.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow. I've got to get those. It wouldn't matter if they charge $500. I hope Apple's not listening, but I'd pay $500, especially with how many AirPods I've been through. And I'm embarrassed to admit this, but like when I went to Mexico with the family, this is probably like 3 months ago, I had just bought a new pair to replace my other pair. And I had them in my ear, and my daughter, she's four, we went for a walk along the shore, and my wife was sitting about 50 feet away, and I could have just walked up to where she was by her chair and put them back in the case. And I thought, no, they'll be fine. We're not going in the water. 10 seconds later, I bent down to hear something she said, and she ran into my ear, and it fell out into the water, and it's murky. Never got that AirPod back. So I bought another pair. So, but the way I look at it, kind of like phones, man, a phone is what, $1,000? Might be going to 3,000 with all the tariffs.
We'll see.
But the way I look at it is I use them so much that if I paid even $50 a month for AirPods, I would do it.
I had that same rationale because I could still hear if the volume typically on an AirPod was a 10, these were defective to where I could hear at about a 1. And I thought about it. Okay, do I go spend another 200, whatever, 160, 180, whatever they cost?
Answer, yes.
Right? And so I ended up, yeah.
And at Costco, you can get them cheaper.
I know.
I'm a huge fan of Costco.
That's why I upgraded to the 16 Pro, was in Costco, walked in, promotion.
You know what, though? Their liquor. Have you ever gone to the liquor? Now that I'm a big drinker, I didn't drink for 10 years. I'm drinking right now.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
But the liquor is not any cheaper than Specs, which Specs is the liquor store in Houston. They have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And like the Woodford Reserve that I like, the bourbon, same price.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with
There's laws on alcohol on how much you can sell it for.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like the cheapest, like there's this is the cheapest you can sell it type deal. Like
who makes?
I don't know, but there's something like that.
Mm. The ice is a lot cheaper.
The Costco Kirkland brand vodka is $13 for a handle and can't beat it. I mean, it's perfect. I've tried Grey Goose. I've tried all the other good ones in it. Tastes just the same. Tito's tastes the same.
You're drinking Tito's here.
Actually, this is now Tito's, but we were drinking Absolut because we couldn't find Tito's, remember, at the first place.
I looked up the other day, when was Tito's inception? When did they start making it? And the answer was 1997. And in about 2011, I was in New York City for work. And I went out one night and I asked the bartender for a Tito's in water with a lime, like one of my good buddies likes to drink that.
He sounds like he's awesome.
Every
that
day.
Guy is.
And he said, if you can tell me where this is made, it's on the house. And I'm like, dude, I'm from Texas. And so it was free.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Trump card played.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to be Grey Goose snobs. You notice that?
That's funny.
It's got to be Grey Goose. It's got to be Grey Goose.
Do you do martinis?
No.
So I didn't.
I don't like olives.
I didn't do martinis until about 2 years ago, and now I love them. With blue cheese stuffed olives, love it.
My friend Michael makes a mean old-fashioned.
Does he?
Yeah, I call him Dirty D.
I know him. I've heard of him. He's got a statue at Nickel State by the baseball
team. I don't believe that. They should put something up to one of the better middle relievers of the 2001 class.
They should. They absolutely should.
Under 6 feet tall.
Absolutely. But we got an ego bigger than 6 feet tall.
Why did you say we? Because I'm not 60 feet either. We got some tall fuckers here.
Yes, we do.
There are, what, two guys that are 6'5"?
Absolutely.
I got another client that is 6'5" that couldn't make it. But yeah, somehow I end up.
And you picked up a power lifter. Tank could pick up a tank.
Yes, Tank is a big dude. I'm going to have him on before we leave on the podcast. He was real good last time. The episode was called As a Man Thinketh, which is a book by James Allen. Mm-hmm. He killed. If I was looking for something to listen to and I was a young, ambitious man, I would turn on that episode because he is wise beyond his years. You know, his dad was a preacher. So when he led us in prayer this morning,
I didn't know that.
That's where that comes from. He's a badass.
And he went to Harvard on the Bayou. That's mm-hmm. right. Nicholls State University. And he was a Colonel football player. So
he was a D-lineman. I would
expect nothing less.
Yeah.
Us Harvard graduates, we've done well.
Let me ask you this. If you were a young, ambitious person in your 20s, would you recommend that they get an MBA?
That's such a tough question to ask. I think you asked me that on one of our other episodes.
Yeah, and I forgot what you said.
Let's refresh you. I think it all depends. I think that an MBA never hurts you. However, the sooner you start making money, the sooner you can retire. I don't personally feel, I've been in banking 21 years now, my MBA has never helped me advance in my career.
Ever. No. That's a strong statement.
Now, that doesn't mean that if I decided to move to another state, where the relationships I have in state in Louisiana, if I decided to move to another state on resume, on paper, that MBA would not benefit me. But in Louisiana, because I have some commercial banking relationships and I've built relationships with other bankers that have left Chase Bank to go elsewhere, they would more hire me because of my relationships, personality, character, if you will, as opposed to being a piece of paper going out of state. I think that MBA would benefit me.
Yeah, I think the more real-world experience you get in the workplace, the less your degrees tend to matter because of the attributes you just rattled off there. Mm-hmm. How much you put into it, if you don't mind me asking?
The MBA? As far as money or effort or both?
Yeah.
I did a graduate assistant program, thankfully. So they paid, and this is funny. So this was in 2002. We're in 2025. Do you know what my graduate assistant salary was for a month? They paid my tuition, granted, but you know what my salary was a month?
If they paid your tuition, I'm going to say $800 a month.
$500.
Wow.
So I worked there, and I worked at a restaurant part-time, Bubba's 2, in Thibodaux. But it was difficult to get the MBA. It definitely was a different level, going from undergrad to getting my MBA. My finance 500 course was extremely challenging. I can remember the test. Because in graduate school, your classes, if you're doing a night class, just like in undergrad, are normally 3 hours. A lot of grad school classes were at night, so 3 hours. I can remember my Finance 500 test taking every bit of 3 hours. There would be five questions, and it was page per answer.
You had to write out a page?
The question would be maybe one or two sentences, and I had to write out a page was my answer on justifying that.
That's not fun.
Discuss economies of scale, discuss long-term debt and how that can finance a company as opposed to other ways to raise capital, like, and justify it.
So you were a grad assistant for what?
My first year, I was a graduate assistant in the business department of athletics, which was great because we played baseball. So the baseball games, if you remember the guy that would manage the event, in other words, hire the person who took the tickets, hire the person that maybe ushered people to their seats or whatever it may be. I managed that. And so after the game, I would take the gate money, write out deposit slips, reconcile, deposit that at the bank, so on and so forth. My second year, I was in the continuing education non-credit program. So we used to offer, ironically, that was the first time I heard of yoga. We had to offer like non-credit programs or courses you could take. And I manage those. So I would reach out to the yoga instructor and say, are you willing to teach yoga this year? Perfect. What days are you available? And then I would update the brochure to make that offering to people who didn't want non-credit college courses to learn yoga or basket weaving or whatever it may be.
Literally basket weaving?
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
They offered that. I bet you didn't know that, but at Nichols, they used to offer those programs.
My dad used to always make the joke that, oh, he's majoring in, like if he was talking about a football player, he would say he's majoring in underwater basket weaving. And that was always a joke. So it surprises me that that's a real thing. He probably just took a real major and put it underwater to make it funny.
Now, again, these courses, though, you did not get any credit towards a degree. These were non-credit courses that they offered.
So your son comes to you tomorrow and says, Daddy, should I do an MBA? I'm finished with school. What would you tell him?
You ask him what he wants to do and why he wants to do it. That would be my advice there.
Agree. And neither
it's his journey, not mine.
Yeah. Neither of us have a son, so it doesn't matter.
And also, right? And we were also in college in 2002. How different is the world now versus then?
Well, I was going to ask, in what ways do you think the world has changed since we first recorded a podcast together?
First one was in, was the
2019.
First one? 19 was the first one? Oof. 6 years. How has the world changed? COVID.
Yeah, that changed things.
Inflation.
Inflation.
A lot of conversation around who gets what jobs and why. Who should you hire and why.
Like the DEI stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that has changed.
Do you think that's going to change, or are people just going to rename things? Like not fire somebody and just call them something else? You know, an environmental supervisor of just like don't include the word diversity in it, for example.
I think a lot of that has to do with the administration.
Like the ideological bent of the administration?
I think that.
Of the school or the HR department?
I think, no, I mean from a political perspective. I think if the election would have went differently, I think the protocol with a lot of those things would be a lot different today.
Oh, they'd be doubling down, I think.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So I think the administration has a lot to do with that.
Oh, when you said administration, you were talking about
from a political perspective.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. One thing I'm curious about, if I said, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say travel with me, travels that we've done together, what place comes to mind? First thing.
Just now, Salzburg, but only because we recorded the first podcast in Salzburg. That's the only reason, though. But then it would probably be Prague if there was a second.
I love Prague. We're going back in August and September.
Yeah.
We'll be there. I could live there. My wife just texted me this morning and said that a little boy was killed at the Prague 6 tram stop. So every day we'd walk 3 or 4 minutes to the tram stop that would take us into Old Town or whatever. So I need to Google that and find out what happened. That's real sad because you build a connection with those people when you're there for that long.
That is very sad. So not taken away from that happening because that's horrible. But you didn't say the Old Town correctly. I think
the Old Town.
That's right. With the crowns.
For how long are you in Prague?
Prague.
Praha.
Yeah. It's funny because I still have the, some people call them skull caps. Some people call them,
do-rags, bandanas.
Not the do-rags. Stocking hats. What do you call them? You pull them over your ears to keep you warm or whatever. Stocking hats. We used to call them skull caps, but I still have that skull cap or whatever you want to call it.
A beanie?
Hat. Beanie. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. That says Praha on it. P-R-A-H-A. And everybody, what brand is that? I haven't heard of that. No, it's Prague, the city.
And I brought you a tee from last time I was there from the Communism Museum. You ever wear it? Be honest.
Not once.
I've worn mine twice.
I do have it in my drawer still, though. I almost put it on Jolie for a night shirt the other day.
You know what my dad does when I give him a shirt? He always makes sure to wear it the next time I see him.
My mom always asks about things she buys for me, my brothers, or my daughter. Did that fit her? Did that fit you? And so I make an effort sometimes to do that.
I think
and it makes her so happy. Like if she gets something for Jolie and she's wearing it the next time she comes over, oh, it does fit her. It looks really nice on her. So shout out to my mom. She's amazingly thoughtful.
My mom does that too. We get Amazon packages once a week for my daughter, and we will say, before we even look to see who it's for, is that from Mimi, meaning grandma? She sends her something. Every time they FaceTime, my mom's like, I'm going to send you something. And she sends something, and just like you're saying, does it fit? Hey, did she try it on yet? Yeah, we'll FaceTime you when she tries it on so you can see.
Yeah, so she's Mimi, and your dad is?
Pops. And then she's got a Pawpaw, who's my stepdad. And then she's got a Wella and a Wello, which is the Hispanic side. and a tío and a tía, which is an uncle and aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes to a Spanish-only daycare right now, so she's gonna know more Spanish than I do really soon, like probably by the time she's 5 or 6. What I was surprised about just coming here, because I was a little concerned, especially hanging out with 9 other dudes, that I would stumble all over my Spanish as we're trying to get something accomplished, like talking to the chef. But it's amazing how much you retain, and it just comes out without thinking, which is how language is, right? Like, I'm not thinking about what I want to say right now. Right. It's just coming out of my mouth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really surprised. I probably know, like, maybe 250 palabras, which is words. And I can communicate what it is that I need, but when I say something that's a common phrase, like if I'm at dinner and I ask for the check, my wife taught me this phrase, to ask politely for the check instead of just throwing your hands up and saying check, por favor. She taught me, me puede dar la cuenta, por favor, which sounds like, oh, this dude's fluent. So they respond talking super duper fast. And I'm like, slow down, bro. I was just faking it. I don't really. Yeah. So they think I'm fluent, but I'm not. I'd love to be, though.
Yeah. I told you at the gym, the girl came up to me. I was on the elliptical because we had paid for a day pass and what have you. And she came up to me and she was trying to say something. And I was like, she said, no, no español. I was like, no. She's like, un poquito? I was like, no, not.
Not
like,
even a poquito.
And she kind of looked at me like with that sideways look. Like, and so anyway, I pulled out my Google Translate app and she was just trying to tell me that the gym was 2 stories and there was more area downstairs, you know.
2 levels?
2 levels to the
That's
gym.
That's niveles. You know how I know that?
Tell me.
I've only taken nivel uno in school, which is level 1. Right. So that shows you what I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing about traveling abroad. You and I talked about this yesterday. Like in Europe, it's not the first floor from an elevator.
Yeah, you're right. Floor 1 is floor 2 for us.
That's right.
It can get real confusing. And then I don't like getting in elevators and they have a P and a G. And when you're in a foreign country, it's not P for parking. It might be, and it's not L for lobby because they have another word for it. So you just go to all different floors and get out and look around like a dummy and then get back in. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's do some fun questions because I think that'll probably lead to discussion too. We hadn't done fun questions in a while. Let me ask you this. If you could create a new holiday that celebrates some aspect of human nature, what would it be?
Exercise Day.
Exercise Day?
Mm-hmm.
And would that be a national holiday where everybody gets off work?
Why not? I think, in other words, exercise could do so much for so many people from obviously a physical health perspective. But one of the biggest challenges we have right now is mental health. And I think people don't understand the mental health benefits of working out as much as the obvious physical health benefits. And so why not make it a national holiday? And if that sparks, think about that. There's in the world 6 billion people? I don't know.
It's over 7 now, almost 8.
Okay. So how many are in the United States?
350 million, roughly.
Okay. So if that national holiday could spark, let's call it 350 million, a 0.5% of people to start regularly exercising. What's the numbers on that? We could do the math, right? 350 million times 0.5%. Think about that many people and then those people then inspiring other people. Because we talk about this. Why are we on this trip? We're around like-minded people all trying to be the best versions of ourselves, right?
And iron sharpens iron, as
That's
you like
exactly
to remind
right.
me.
Right. Yeah. So your tribe needs to be very, very strong mentally, physically. And so if that exercise day had 0.5% of 350 million people to start regularly exercising, and that one person, one of those people inspired one other person, start doing the math on that, on how many people would start exercising regularly and how much happier we'd be, how much healthier we would be. And then you could go into another conversation about drug costs and all the different pills people take to reduce cholesterol and all these other things, which could be mitigated, in my opinion, by working out consistently.
All right, let me tell you why that won't happen. If COVID taught us anything, it's that our government doesn't give a shit if we're healthy and the pharma companies would go out of business. Maybe RFK can change that. But remember, they were pulling people off of paddleboarding because of COVID.
Right.
They were closing down swing sets. So I don't see your holiday happening unless RFK has a say, and he might do that.
Would he vote for it?
Would I?
No, he. RFK.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Would Trump vote for it?
I don't know.
Right?
He'd be on the golf course.
He's a golfer.
He eats McDonald's, but he just, this is funny. He just got his physical, and this would only happen with Trump. He said, the doctor said my heart is very good. Or no, he said my heart is good, but my soul is very good.
That's great.
His soul. Who would say that? And another thing that he said, and again, this is a Trumpism, but his doctor put on the report that he frequently wins golf tournaments.
I was about to make a joke. Did his doctor say he could drive the ball further than Biden? Would he concur with that?
I don't know, but I'm surprised Trump didn't have him. I think if the election were still going on, he'd probably have him say that. But he's, dude, the energy. I've always said this. Like, if you don't even like him, take inspiration from his work ethic. Because how is he almost 80 years old and working that hard? I hope to God. Like, that's something I'll remember the rest of my life. When I'm 75, I will think about 30 years ago when Trump, what he was able to do at 80 years old. And it makes me feel bad for drinking because I know he didn't drink. And so it makes me think that maybe had something to do with it.
It definitely doesn't hurt. I mean, the less you drink, the better you feel cognitively, all of the above, you know?
So why do we do it?
I enjoy drinking. And I think anything in moderation is okay. Not anything. Most things in moderation are okay. I share with you, you asked me how I lost a good amount of weight in the last however many months. And I think a big part of that was the lack of alcohol I've been drinking.
Was it easy to stop?
Alcohol? Yeah.
Really?
I didn't make a conscious effort like I'm not going to drink. I think it was just more of circumstance. I'm working out more. I'm playing more pickleball. It's 8:30. I'm not getting on social media because I'm about to take a shower and go to sleep. And I'm also not going to drink a drink before I go to sleep. But it doesn't. But like when I enjoy like having a cocktail with you, I enjoy that. I think it's funny if it's done in moderation. I think it loosens people up.
People like to mock pickleball as being an old person's game. But if you play singles especially, you can get a really good workout. So people who mock me for playing pickleball, I say, no, you're stupid. You should be doing it. And you should be playing singles so you can run around. And it's a workout. I love it.
It's great. And it's funny. I've got a few different groups of guys I play with. And some of them play tennis as well. And they'll say, I hate that I enjoy pickleball so much.
Right.
I was like, I know, because y'all are snobbish about it. But it's great. It's fun.
Pickleball's going the way of Blockbuster. I'm sorry. Tennis is going the way of Blockbuster Video, I think.
Agreed. I don't think pickleball is going away. It's not a phase. And we talked about this on the last episode. I think there's great money to be made with pickleball and these new places they're going to make. There's a new one coming up in Baton Rouge that will probably be open in the next 4 or 5 months. It's going to have 11 courts. Mm-hmm. Nice bar, restaurant there. Like, I think it's going to do very
well. In Baton Rouge?
Mm-hmm. Off Burbank.
Hmm.
Probably 5 miles from LSU.
If you could switch lives with somebody for one day, let's say on Monday, you could switch lives with them just to experience what their life is like. Who would you switch lives with?
Just to see, not because I want to be them, but just to see what their life would be like.
And would you have sex with your wife that night?
Well, I'm not married, so, right? But that would be funny if I was, right?
No, the joke is...
I get the joke, yeah. We just talked about Trump. I think it would be interesting to be the president for a day.
So, yes, you'd have sex with your wife.
Melania? Yeah, Melania's not bad.
Not bad.
I'm being nice.
Yeah, I'll say. You got some standards on you.
She's a smoke show. Yeah, not necessarily to be Donald Trump, but to be the president for a day. I think you would have a new perspective on stressful days.
Oh, God, yeah. That would be the most stressful job in the world. That's why they age so much, except for Trump. Which maybe that's money. We've never had a billionaire in the office. And you know, people who are wealthy can afford to do facelifts and stuff. Not that I don't think he's done that, but how is his hair real? You ever see an 80-year-old man with hair like that?
I don't know. Hopefully I do. I haven't.
But looking at Barron, he's got the same hair. So it probably is real. I don't know.
Yeah. We need to get that skincare routine, like from our buddy that came on this trip with us, right? Age well.
Yeah, so we've got a buddy. He brought his cousin here who's 50 years old. He looks like he's 36. And I told my wife that, and she said, oh, make sure you get his skincare routine before you come home.
It's so great.
I'm like, boo, he ain't got no – he doesn't have a skincare routine.
And we've got another guy
that –
he's from
Plaquemine, Louisiana.
He's Donaldsonville.
Donaldsonville, Louisiana.
That's right.
They don't even have skincare products.
Yeah, but we've got another guy. I mean, he keeps getting complimented on his personality.
And that's me. Mr. Personality.
How do you take that, right? So that's a good question for you. Like, if someone came up to you and just said, and you're talking to them for like 10 minutes, you're like, you have such a great personality. Would it be different hearing that from a male telling you that versus a female? How do you receive it both ways?
Here's what I think. Being a man, and I don't know what I am, 1 through 10, I'm probably a 6 3/4.
From a physical?
Or to a 7 1/4, depending on the day.
From a 1 to 10, let's clarify for the listeners. From 1 to 10.
Oh, they can see me now. This is the first time ever.
So look, give them a good look. The wink just upgraded you a little bit because you got the personality and the lips now, you know?
Yeah. So here's what I think. As a man, I remember every compliment of my looks that I've ever gotten because it's so rare. So I think women get that like once a week. They get some kind of compliment. And I also think that women, so I've dated a bunch. I was a bachelor till I was almost 38 years old. So I've had a few girlfriends. I think that they don't compliment men because, and this is, I pride myself on candor. I think they don't compliment men because they don't want them going out into the world to conquer it with all this confidence that they do have a sweet mustache. As an example.
Look at you the camera with that mustache.
She doesn't want to tell me how good it looks.
Miriam, if you're listening, the mustache looks great.
Yeah. But she doesn't – I don't tell her that I'm fighting chicks off at Walmart.
Yeah. She knows. I'm sure she knows.
Well, she knows Walmart caliber chicks like me, but that's just the greeter and the checkout girl.
What about Target? They say Target is a little bit of an upgrade from Walmart. Like, did the Target ladies holler as well?
Your Target is my Target.
There's that personality again.
Right? So, yeah, if I'm complimented on my personality, to me, that's better than getting complimented on looks because, no, it's not. Because I don't remember every time I've gotten complimented on my personality. Maybe Chris Rock could use this in some way. But I do remember, it's probably been since I was 35, maybe 3 times, somebody has said, like, you got a great lower back or something, or calves. They compliment my calves.
You've always had nice calves.
Thank you.
What would be the highest compliment someone could pay to you?
It's happened to me. I was sitting at Fuddruckers one day, and my daughter was acting up, and I was real stern with her, as I always am when she's acting up. For a long time, I had watched my friends and relatives parent, and I never wanted to be lazy in disciplining my kids. Mm-hmm. So I put a lot of effort into it deliberately. I never just let something pass. If I say you're going to be punished, you're going to be punished. I get up off the chair to handle that business the same way I would in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So that said, some man who was probably 70 came over to us, interrupted dinner to say, I'm really impressed with the way you father your little girl.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, I'll remember this the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I do.
Wow. That's great.
You?
The highest compliment, you just said that story or shared that story. The one that comes to mind for me was probably 8 years ago. I was on vacation and I had Jolie with me and we went to breakfast. And I remember at breakfast, like helping her with some things and so on and so forth. And I went to get a refill of my drink. And when I did, I stood up and I was like, Jolie, daddy's going to get something to drink. Daddy will be right back. And she was 15 feet from me. But while I got up for a drink and I came back on the way back, a man came up to me and said, I have been sitting at this table watching you interact with your daughter and I'm almost brought to tears. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing to see you interact with your daughter and the world's a better place because of fathers like you. And I was like, whew.
You're trying to bring me to tears.
Right.
Except I know you just copied my story, so it doesn't really. All right. So did you tell me you'd switch places with the president, but that would be regardless of who it was?
I'm sorry to completely avoid that question. Let's come back to it because I've got to compliment Jolie one more time. A guy I worked with asked each one of us, we were in a morning meeting, who our hero was. And it just so happened that I went last. And I very, very rarely in my life have I been choked up for, not exaggerating, 15 seconds. Couldn't speak, thinking of Jolie being like my hero. So while I received that compliment as high praise to me, I just say thank you to him. I wanted to almost say, no, you don't understand how much she's helping me. It looks to you that I'm helping her, but she's helping me become a better man. So I didn't mean to avoid your question, but I wanted to make sure I shared that because Jolie is my hero. And so when you talk about high praise, I can't tell her enough high praise on what she's brought to my life.
Do you know how they call actors and actresses actors? Like if you see a Susan Sarandon, you'll say she's a great actor. Have you noticed that?
Actress.
Well, people say actor interchangeably with actress, I think. Like actress isn't used as often. And the reason I bring that up is the word for a female hero used to not be hero, but
heroine?
Now they're all, yeah.
Heroin?
Which sounds like the drug.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
So what was your question? You were about to ask
I didn't have one.
I think something about Trump. No, you were.
Yeah, I was asking who you'd wholesale swap lives with on Monday if you could.
Yeah.
And you said the president. So I was asking the president specifically now, Trump, or just you want that role and therefore you wouldn't be answering my question.
Yeah, no, the role. I would like to experience the role.
Yeah, so that doesn't answer my question.
Ask your question again.
He wants me to ask it three times, cameraman.
Who
in this world would you... Yes.
Who specifically?
I want a name.
Who? Hmm.
And would you sleep with your wife tonight?
That's a tough question. Who would I want to be?
I made the question tougher probably because now you're thinking about, is his wife hot?
That's part of it, right?
Yeah.
You got to include that.
It can't be me.
I'm normally going to upgrade, not downgrade, Bradley D. Come on.
You're going to get down to 6 3/4.
Oh, man.
Looks-wise, personality, I'm 9.5.
9.
So 7, I've been told.
9.7. Man, I'm completely stumped. I don't think a lot about who I want to be. I just want to be the best version of myself.
Well, you're a great guest. Let's not do any more questions. What's the coolest thing anybody's ever done for you?
This just immediately comes to mind. Like, I appreciate when Jolie had her brain surgery, like little things. Like, I slept at your place that night. Was able to talk with you about that. Obviously, that's a big step, right? So, that's probably not the most nice thing or thoughtful thing anyone's ever done, but that's just what immediately came up to mind. And the reason I say that is I think the nicest thing, and I'm going to answer this generally, again, I'm being a bad guest, not specifically answering your questions, is I think when people are going through tough times or are going through it, however you label it, when people recognize that and just extend help without the person having to ask. One of the things I'm challenged with is I don't like to ask for help. I don't know about you, but
it's very tough for me to be vulnerable and
say, I need help right now.
Right. So you may have heard my theory on that. I think you have to allow people to help you because if you're like me, and I tend to surround myself with people who are like-minded, I get joy from helping people. So I want to be asked.
That's a good point.
So allow that person to experience the joy of helping you.
Yeah.
So yes, always ask me for help, and because I want to help, and you're the same way, and I'm flattered that I came to mind because one of the most awesome things that's happened to me since I've been recovering from my health issue was me going down to Louisiana to see you guys, and I went to the LSU baseball game. They were playing Nicholls State. And again, I didn't drink for 10 years and now I'm okay to drink and I don't overdo it, but you made sure I had a drink in my hand at all times. And I would be sitting like I'm sitting now watching the game, talking to somebody that I hadn't talked to in probably 10 years. And the cup would be placed in my hand. And I was like, what a friend.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Good. I remember asking, I said, Bradley D, I'm going to get something to drink. You want something? He said, well, what are you drinking? I was like, well, I'm going to get an old fashioned. And you're like, yeah, I'll have one of those. I was like, all right.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
At the LSU baseball
game. Got me a Jameson on the rocks.
That time?
Yeah.
It was a Jameson on the rocks at first?
Yeah, and then you made old fashions when we got home.
On the back patio.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you cooked up some burgers from Costco. Those were so good.
They are.
And I thought, this dude eats two hamburgers this big at midnight?
Yeah.
Who is this beast?
That's right.
And at that time, you were weighing like 225.
That's right.
Ever tell you I got up to 211 when I was living in New Orleans for COVID? I'm down to 178 now.
Where would you like to be?
I'd like to have more muscle because I haven't been able to work out for 2 years. Yeah, I miss having muscles and being strong.
No, what weight would you like to be?
Well, if that's why I'm so skinny, because I've lost so much muscle.
So you're being a bad guest if I'm the host again. You're not answering my question.
It's such a good thing. It's such a good thing you're not the host.
That was well played right there.
I'd like to be 192 and ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
With a beard, since we're fantasizing. A full beard, because I can't grow a good beard.
Yeah.
But I got a great mustache.
You do. Mustache and personality. You got those two things for sure.
That's true. I'll always remember that compliment.
And good
Not
calves.
Really.
And good calves.
I have great calves. Those are mostly inherited. I had a woman one time.
I think they are. I think calves are hereditary.
Oh, no doubt. My dad has them. My grandfather has them. And I was, one time I was in third grade and I was at this kid's house. What was his name? Travis Thibodeau. And his mom was sitting with three of her girlfriends at the kitchen table. And I walked by, and again, I'm like 8 years old. And she said, oh my God, look at his calves. And all the women turned around and looked. See, you remember things forever, right? When people compliment you. And the cameraman's probably been looking at my calves all day. He's like, man, how do I get calves like that? Now we're telling you can't get them. You gotta inherit them. So she tells him, you know why he's got those calves? He rides his bike all the time. And I was just like, yep. But that was bullshit.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any better. She gave me an idea. I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep riding my bike. And I did. But my calves didn't really get any better.
I think, you know, it's funny. So you bring up our cameraman who's doing a great job, by the way. Shout out, Marcus. I think it's great. I don't think he's thinking about your calves. I think he's thinking about that challenge of can he still run a 4.5 40, being he was, you know, at McNeese because he wasn't good enough to play football at Nicholls State Colonels. You know what I mean? I think he's more worried about that.
Well, Marcus was a DB at McNeese. And he said he ran a 4.5. I'd like to race him.
Today?
No. When I was 19.
I think that would have been a great race.
I think so, too.
Remember when I raced Aaron McCray?
No.
In the 60 at before practice?
I kind of do.
I said he was slow running around the bases, and he took offense to that.
I remember that.
And coach lined it up and made us race in the 60. And if he's listening, Aaron McCray, you had a false start.
I take it you lost.
I did.
I'd be claiming false start, too.
But you wouldn't have lost. Not with those calves, man. There's
dude,
no way.
They had one black dude on my team my junior college year. I was a freshman. And everybody talked about how fast he was. So everybody wanted us to race. And they thought I would lose because he was a black dude and I'm a white dude. So we go out in the parking lot at somebody's apartment. And somebody goes about 50 yards down the parking lot and does the thing where he goes like this and then throws his arm down.
Yeah.
And I was so amped up. I took off and about 8 yards in, I straight took a dive into the concrete and scratched up all my palms and knees and even my face. Felt like an idiot. So I never raced him again. And people had money on it. Because I was beat after that. I couldn't like get up and run. I was like limping. It was so sad. So, yeah. Interesting story. I ran into him when I was about 30. He was a Budweiser delivery truck driver. Just out of the blue, he called my name, and I hadn't seen him since I was 18 years old. And it's crazy how you run into people later in life. His name was Charles. Charles, if you're out there.
You know what's funny about that, amongst many things? Remember the guy, what was his name, that played receiver for the Saints, who was a beer man before that?
Was it Perryman?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. Somebody was.
He was a beer man, and he ended up getting the job with the New Orleans Saints, and he actually played. The other thing I thought about was Jose Canseco. They used to say Ricky Henderson would never race Jose Canseco because he feared he would have lost him. You remember Jose Canseco was in the 40-40 club, first guy to do it, if I'm not mistaken. 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Ricky Henderson, is he still the all-time stolen base leader? I think so, right? Would never race him, allegedly, at the A's practices because he was in fear he would lose to Jose Canseco.
What's the most memorable negotiation you've had, and what was your biggest takeaway?
Most recently, when I accepted a promotion, I could have done a lot better.
So your biggest takeaway was that you could
get
have done
what
a lot
you can better. Now, not what's promised to you.
Ooh, and if you could get that in writing, would you have done that?
Correct.
That's a good takeaway. All right, let me ask you this. If you could turn any activity into an international thing, like an Olympic level sort of thing that you think that you'd be competitive in, what would that be? It could be anything.
Any Olympic sport?
That you think you would excel in, like at an Olympic level, but it's not a thing now that exists.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. Are you that good?
There's probably a lot of my buddies that will listen to this and say, do you think you're really that good? I think I'm pretty good, and I think if I really worked at it, I could become really good. But it would need to have age brackets on it. I'm 45. I don't think there's any way I can compete with a 25-year-old that's athletically as good as I am, just from a, you know, I wish I was still 25 from that perspective. That's the only reason in other words, I'm very happy being 45. I feel great at 45. But I do notice now, like, when I was 25, the way I felt versus now, getting up, there was no back pain. There wasn't having to stretch and get loose. You just woke up and did it.
Well, what about size? If you were playing against Michael Jordan, like, regardless of how good you are, he's going to – we used to say this in high school. So Chase, my buddy, my baseball friend from high school, he used to tell guys on our soccer team that if he and I played soccer – we would be starters on our team. And we had like a top three in the state, 5A soccer team. And his opinion was that we were athletic and therefore would be just as good as them if we had played soccer instead of baseball. And I don't know what I think about that, but I think about what if Michael Jordan played tennis all his life? How could Andre Agassi beat him?
If you've watched, and I know you
or
have.
Or Kobe, you know, either one.
Right. And I've been both of those guys. If you've watched The Last Dance and or read or know about the Mamba mentality with discipline and an attitude like that, those guys obviously were – Jordan was 6'6". I think Kobe was 6'6"-ish. Obviously, they were given great physical attributes. But with that work ethic, discipline, and tenacity, I think they could have done well at checkers or anything they picked. You know, what's that saying? Hard work outworks talent, or it's something like that.
Edit that, please. He didn't know what he's talking about.
Good thing I'm not the host. And good thing he doesn't have to race you, Marcus. I think you would win.
All right. So if you could, let's say, since you mentioned Donald Trump switching places with him, if he asked for your best piece of advice on Monday morning, let's say you were just invited to the White House, he's known to ask a lot of questions and listen to people intently and then take the best of what he's heard and use it, probably not giving him any credit, which the king never does, right?
Right.
What would you tell him?
6 years ago, I would have said, quit blasting your stuff out on Twitter.
I wasn't sure. Did I say, if it was 13 years ago, what would you
say? May I finish, sir? That would have been my advice then. But today, I realize he uses it as a negotiating tactic. I really do. I think when he blasts out, you know, something, in other words, when we flew a lot of the people that we recently deported, was that to El Salvador, and he said, oh, I just put a tariff on you guys or whatever, 100 whatever percent. I don't know what the numbers were, because the guy wasn't going to let the plane land. And immediately when he's okay, we'll let him land. So my advice would have been to not blast out on Twitter your thoughts and just, but now I realize it's a negotiating tactic. So I would say keep doing what you're doing as long as you have some type of method to the madness. I'd like to know what's his end game and goal with these tariffs. I mean, you can say on the surface what he's trying to do, but.
You know what I think is trying to do is eventually we may get to the point where other countries say, I tell you what, zero tariffs. If you do zero tariffs, and then we just have completely free trade.
You think that's a possibility?
There's so much shit that's happened that I didn't think was possible, including him becoming president again. So for viewers, hopefully you can still hear us, but this is what happens every day in Costa Rica at this time. It's 5 o'clock.
Yes.
We'll get a 30-minute shower, and that's it. In the rainy season, which is like April to October, sometimes it'll rain all day. They get a lot of rain. But this is what happens in the good season, even.
There's a good thing about this, though. Because it's wet, there is a chance if you were to race, you might slip, and you could blame it on the rain. You like that?
Like Milli Vanilli.
Thank you.
You know Milli Vanilli?
Oh, come on now. Do you know Milli Vanilli? Does anyone know the real Milli Vanilli?
All right, I think I just have one more question. If Diddy is guilty of everything he's being accused of, what should his punishment be?
Oof. What's he being accused of specifically? Obviously, he's got... Is he being accused of rape? Or is he being accused of sex trafficking? Or...
Yeah, hell if I know.
Okay, I don't know exactly.
Are you going to ruin my question, bro?
I think he should get at least... If he's guilty of doing some of the things he did, raping... taking advantage of people that were unconscious, underage, whatever, if there was underage, he's got to get 30 to 40 plus years, if not life. That's horrible.
Yeah, 30 to 40 years would put him at 80 to 90. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I befriended Russell Simmons because he worked out at the gym we did in Bali. And one night, he went home and wished Diddy a happy 50th birthday on social media. So I know exactly how old he is because I know how long ago I was in Bali and did that. So I could tell you how old he's going to be in 40 years, yeah. Which is like 94 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, man. We're going to wrap. Anything else you got?
No, man. It's just a great trip. Always glad and thankful for everything you continue to bring to my life, man.
Likewise. I don't have a friend that I love and respect more than Dirty D.
My man, Bradley Deasy. All right, brother.
All right.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you, folks. If you enjoyed this podcast, please copy the link and text it to your buddy. And I could be followed at @man_overseas on the socials. And Dalbar, if somebody wanted to contact you, what would they do?
I'm on Instagram, Michael Dalbar, on Facebook as well, so they can reach out to me those ways.
All right, friends. Thank you for tuning in. If we can do anything for you, let us know. Bye-bye.